For any size donation before December 1st, we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And we'll send you my Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
You don't have to like that teaching, folks, but be honest and don't try to write it out of the scriptures.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, we heard Jesus describe this generation, which I suggest it may refer to the whole of fallen humanity, as being like children you just can't make happy. Doesn't matter what you do, it's still wrong. Remember my snitching on my grandson about playing this game when he was little. Now Jesus applies the whole matter to John's ministry and his own, and there was a marked difference of approach, all right. John, the ascetic, Christ, the bringer of the joyful kingdom. The fact is that sinful human beings will use any excuse to dismiss God's messengers. So they wrote off John as having a demon, crazy, because he rejected as inconsequential all the stuff we tend to think of as musts, home, family, food, clothing. Jesus, on the other hand, was dismissed in words that evoked Deuteronomy 21 as being the rebellious son, the party boy whom no one could control. And remember, that verse is next door to hanging on the tree. The same people that didn't bother listening to John wouldn't listen to Jesus either. John was a crank, Jesus a charlatan in their estimation. But the wisdom of God shone forth in the messengers he sent. Because sinners did listen to both of them and were brought back to faith in God both by John and by Jesus. God's way was the right way after all. And no human poutiness over not being able to call the shots should stand in the way of sinners coming back to their God. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Zidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Zidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. St. Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, you ready to dig into today's reading? Let's do this. Verse 21. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Zidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Woe to you. What does that mean? It's a prophetic word. It means bad trouble is coming. And it has the implication that the people who are going to experience that trouble are oblivious to it. So it's always a word of warning. There's a flavor of look out about it. Jesus speaks the warning to the inhabitants of two cities in this verse. Chorazin was up the hill away from the lake, just about 2.5 miles north of Capernaum, which was situated on the lake. It's not mentioned in any other context of the gospel. Bethsaida is at the top of the lake, and John says it's the hometown of Peter and Andrew. But remember, Jesus traveled all through the Galilean region, teaching in the synagogues and performing his mighty miracles, here called mighty works. And what seems to astound him is that given the miracles that these folks got to see him perform on such a regular basis among them, so very many of them in these towns wouldn't repent. Maybe they're some of the ones we thought about last time who dismissed both Jesus and John, satisfied with neither. Jesus points to Tyre and Zidon, bastions of pagan idolatry, with an up-and-down relationship with the ancient Jews, friends in the time of David. Then remember the trouble with Ethbaal and Jezebel and Ahab and all that. He's saying, folks, if those rank heathens had gotten just a glimpse of what you all are treated to here on a daily basis, you know what they'd have done? They'd have returned to God long ago in sackcloth and ashes, that is, with signs of penitence on their bodies and on their heads. Repent always means to turn back to God. And when Chorazin and Bethsaida can see the miracles of Jesus as a mere spectacle and then go on their merry way not returning to God, to coming to him in sorrow for sin, well, they're missing the point majorly. As St. Paul said, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, Romans 2 verse 4. There's a hint here too of the way the mission of Jesus will finally play out with the Gentiles, isn't there? If ancient Tyre and Sidon would be convinced by Jesus and his apostles, even though his countrymen weren't, maybe even Corinth and Rome will find those who listen and turn to the living God. Verse 22. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Zidon than for you. There is so much that is mysterious about the day of judgment, but we need to carefully hold on to whatever Jesus teaches us about this day because, well, he's the judge who will be executing his sentence on that day. More bearable or tolerable or better to endure, however we translate it, there's a solid implication here that just as there are rewards of glory, there are also degrees of punishment. The judgment, if you will, is more painful for some than others. This is the point in Luke 12. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. You don't have to like that teaching, folks, but be honest and don't try to write it out of the scriptures. Jesus is clear that those who witnessed what he did and yet went on to reject his kingship are in the absolute worst predicament come the day he sits upon his judgment seat. And it has implications for us too, to whom so much has been entrusted in the gift of his word and his church. Verse 23. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Remember, this is the city called his city, Capernaum. His base of operations. Remember, too, how Matthew taught us back in chapter 4 that his dwelling there was the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, a great light shining in Galilee of the Gentiles. And yet, you know the truth of the proverb, familiarity breeds contempt. And so while Jesus wanted to lift the inhabitants of Capernaum up to the kingdom of heaven, that's why he came after all, he prophesies that they'll be tossed into Hades for the same cause as the cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin. They didn't receive the mighty works Jesus did in their midst for what they really were: invitations and summons to lives of repentance. This time, like in the previous chapter, Jesus speaks of Sodom. In the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah are always held up as the pinnacle of human depravity and unkindness. You remember how those men proposed to treat the angels who came to Lot, and how they even tried to violate Lot, and how God rained fire and brimstone from heaven and turned the cities to ash. In other words, it doesn't get worse than Sodom, right? And Jesus says, psh, that city would have gone on existing to this very day if the people that lived there had the benefit of seeing what's happening right here under your noses, and you won't take it to heart. Again, prototypical of the mission to the Gentiles, hinting that even the very worst of the Gentiles will come to believe, while so very many of his countrymen will reject the gift he came to bring. Saint Jerome, the great translator of the Bible into Latin, taught on this. This means one of two things. You will sink to hell for the reason that you most arrogantly oppose my prophecy, or although you receive so much privilege in being raised to heaven by my kind generosity, by my miracles, by my acts of goodness, even then you will be battered by greater punishment because you did not care to believe them. Verse 24. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. If that doesn't put the fear of God into you, what will? Chrysostom, patriarch of Antioch and Constantinople at the end of the 4th century, he preached, these were cities where Jesus was prone to linger as a favorite place. And not even at this does he hold back his speech. He makes their dread even more intense by saying they would suffer things more grievous than Sodom and Tyre. Jesus alarmed them when he used every possible means to reclaim them to repentance. Repentance is simply his goal, isn't it? He stated it at the very beginning of his preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4:17. Turn back to God, who is now with you, Emmanuel, who comes to bring you a share in his very own life. Don't spurn such a priceless gift. Jesus' hard words to the cities today, warning of impenitence, reminded me of something I read last year. I was systematically working my way through the great Lutheran theologian's Johann Gerhardt's books called Schola Pietatis, School of Piety. And I don't think I'll ever forget what it was like reading his exhortation to godliness on the basis of the pains of the damned, where they're deprived of every good and feel every evil, both in body and soul. He uses scripture to go into excruciating detail and stress the unending nature of these horrid torments and how each individual damned person will have their own special pain and agony. He wrote, for whichever member he dishonored the Creator most, in that member, the damned person will be much more severely punished. The more sin he committed, that much more stripes will he feel. Think about the rich man who stuffed his mouth in Luke 16 and how he cries for relief for his tongue. And that's just the slightest bit of what Gerhardt affects in this meditation. But I know that I've never been as terrified of hell as I was after reading his careful biblical meditation upon it, I think in a really good way. You see, old Gerhardt was actually doing just what Jesus does in today's verses. He's pushing people who might be tempted to take Jesus for granted into lives of repentance, true terror over their sin and its threatened punishment, so that they flee to Jesus for the forgiveness he dies to give. Next time, if you're a tad frightened and weary of hard words from Jesus, take heart. You will hear from his lips some of the sweetest words he ever uttered upon this earth, and they will be the rejoicing of your heart. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.